Welcome to Your Highness Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Crash, and today I am joined by Kristen Souza. Once again, thank you for joining me today, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a blast. I was thrilled.
Aw, you're sweet. And before we start, I should just apologize for my voice because the allergies are bonkers right now, and this is what, I don't know, maybe I'm less annoying with this.
I don't think you were annoying before, but the voice doesn't sound, the vocal fry is not that intense.
All right, so we're going to start this episode, as we do every episode, with our recurring segment, Fave Pot and Fave Not Pot, where we talk about our favorite cannabis-related item and our favorite non-cannabis-related item right now. So I am going to start with my fave pot. I have yet to try this brand, Wild, which I see everywhere. On all the lists, you know, like best gummy list and all of that. And I know why now, because we were gifted some samples and they had all these different flavors. So you're going to hear about more of them in the future. Believe that, because I am obsessed with this brand. Today I consumed their blood orange gummies that are 1-to-1 THC CBC and sativa enhanced. I also took one of the 20-to-1 ratios that they have with CBD. They're delicious. Okay. They are so good. I could seriously, if I didn't know any better, eat the whole bag.
Oh my God. All right. Now I'm okay. Intrigued.
And also in the box, it says that they are the first climate neutral certified cannabis company. So that's good. I'd like to hear that.
And I love that.
Not a lot of excessive packaging either, but it's beautiful. And yeah, I'm a big fan. So
I love that. I've had their drinks before, the CBD seltzers. They're delicious.
Oh, okay. I need to try those.
No, I love that brand.
So what's your fave pot right now?
My fave pot right now. You know, I was thinking about this and I was looking around at my gadgets and I'm like, you know, I've got to give a shout out to my daily driver, my tried and true gadget here. I love my Stash Logic's storage box. I've got a couple of them in different sizes, but the brand is really great. The guy's name is Skip Stone. I think he's out in Colorado. And there are a lot of these, you know, it was designed to kind of keep your gummies and your flower kind of away from little prying fingers of children and the paws of animals. So it's, you know, they have a very tight zipper on them. They're odor proof, so you don't stink up your car if you got some fresh flower or, you know, you throw a joint that you have smoked in there. But yeah, I really love my Stash Logic's boxes, and I've got quite a little pile of them.
It's so funny you said that, because my microphone is actually on top of one of my Stash Logics.
Yes.
Because it's literally the perfect size.
I love that. The medium, perhaps.
Yes. But love also, it is perfect. It's perfect segue for my fave not pot, which is travel. I will be using my Stash Logic box, my Stash Logics box. Sorry. Love Skip. He is always so generous, and he has donated giveaway items to us in the past. And also,
I love that.
He donated branded stash jars for us in the past that were just really nice.
Oh, amazing.
But yeah, this bag will definitely come in handy for my fave not pot, which is travel. I'm going on a road trip, as I told you before we started, to our hometown.
Yes. Hometown pride.
Going back to Maine. This maniac is going back to Maine. I'm excited. So that's my fave not pot right now. I really can't think of anything else because, I mean, yeah, I could recommend podcasts and stuff like that. But right now, that's one track mind. We're leaving next week. So
I don't blame you. Like, once you get like vacation on the brain, it's the countdown to like, oh God, okay, we can relax.
Yeah.
We can just exist.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes. I really am. I'm finally like letting myself get really excited about it. So that's exciting. So what's your fave not pot right now?
You know, it was staring at me, shimmering in the sun as I pulled in the driveway after running errands. But I am so excited and kind of similar to the nice weather. I got a kayak a couple of years ago and really haven't had, I know. And I love my kayak. I think it's so relaxing to just be like out on the water. I'm not a super athletic person. This was something that I was just able to easily pick up. I loved that. But I really haven't taken her out very often. So she's, you know, it's pretty teal blue, kind of leaning against my shed in the back. I'm like, yes, I'm going to do some spring kayaking. So
that's awesome. Oh
I'm
my God.
About
kayaks
that.
Are amazing. I mean, I still have a little bit of trauma from when I was younger and I tipped over in one when I was at summer camp, but
I was gonna say, it's not that funny, but
no, I mean, like, yeah, it's funny, but looking back as an adult with a child now, I'm like, they let an 8-year-old just go out into a kayak, like in the middle of the deep water, just
tipped
right
on
over.
The lake, kids.
Yeah, and like, luckily, somehow I remembered what they taught us about, like, you know, rowing in the opposite direction or whatever it was. I don't even remember what it was now, but at the moment, I did. My flight or fight. In, and I was able to get right back up. But
that is legit one of my fears, because when I first got it, you know, I'm going into these forums about kayaking and you've got these people that are like essentially whitewater rafting on their kayak talking about what to do if it flips over on top of you. I'm like, I'm sorry, ma'am, what?
Yeah.
I'm yeah. gonna stay on some smooth waters with my life vest. We're inching in.
I know, they're like teaching us, oh, this is what happens. I'm like, oh, but it doesn't happen that often, right? And they're like, oh no, it does.
Oh, it sure does. I take a buddy so far. I'm not brave enough to fly solo for that
yeah.
reason.
Oh, yeah. The ones where you can have like fit more than one person. I'm totally cool with those now. This is one where like it sucks you in and you're like that seat is you. Like you're like the boat. You know what I mean?
You are one with the raft.
Yeah. You're like, there's no like getting away from this. Like you are part of it when you tip over.
Oh,
anyway.
God. This is funny.
Ever feel like life's stress gets to be too much? Welcome to Mitra Gaia, your natural wellness partner. We are the number one rated provider of Kratom, a 100% natural plant-based solution used in Asia for centuries to help increase focus, energy, and relaxation. Want to know more? Use the code YHPOD to get 10% off your first order today. That's mitragaya.com and code YHPOD for 10% off. All right, so switching gears a little bit, getting a little more serious. But also still fun, because you always make it fun. Your social media is so much fun. It's my favorite type of social media because it's fun and informative and sassy, a little salty sometimes, but the best kind of salty. So yeah. You've been doing a lot of work around the intersection of social media and activism, right? Like a lot of work. You're even going out in the world and teaching people about it. So why is it so important for cannabis enthusiasts to be vocal about their support online?
You know, good question. And I think it's important for a couple of reasons. So first of all, I think most of us, if you are involved in the cannabis industry or the cannabis world, you should inherently be an advocate or activist anyway. There's still a lot of stigma surrounding it. We tend to exist in an echo chamber. So you hear a lot of people saying the same things. That is a very niche demographic, and the rest of the world needs to be learning and hearing from folks that look like, sound like, go to the same events as them. So a big part of it is just we should all be advocates. And with that, I think grassroots activism, you know, 15, 20 years ago, that was walking around your neighborhood with a paper flyer or slapping posters up and just hoping you could get someone's attention. We now have multiple platforms where you quite literally have the world at your fingertips, and maybe you're only hitting 200 people, but are you going to stand in your living room otherwise and get 200 people to hear you? That's a lot of people. And, you know, and then we're talking some platforms have thousands and then people are sharing it. And so it's a really great way to get your message to a larger group of people much faster. And so it's just a very efficient way to garner attention for your causes.
So feel free to ignore this question, but what do you feel? How do you feel about people that say they're not political, but they sell cannabis products?
Oh boy. All right. Not everyone likes politics. I get that. And there are a lot of people that would be apolitical. I still very much, to the core of my soul, believe if you are making money off of something where other folks are still sitting in prison or they have prior prison records that are preventing them from getting health care, housing, jobs, you just have an obligation or you should take a seat. And I know that's going to be controversial in some circles, but it's just how I feel. It really is.
I feel the same way. I agree with you
All right.
100%.
It's a little, you know, and I know there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm not political. I'm not an advocate. I'm not saying
Everything
it.
is
You,
political, though.
yes, everything, you know, that doesn't make sense to me. I'm not saying you need to go out and be, you know, hanging people's faces on doorknobs and phone banking, although those are great things to do. But at least use your voice and just share with your grandparents, your mom,
Right.
your aunt, you know, that's still advocacy.
If you're saying, hey, I'm not political, the only reason I got into this, well, the only reason I'm selling cannabis or into the industry is because, you know, my grandmother had cancer, my blah, 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 da, 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 da. All of those things are political.
Exactly. And sharing that story is so impactful because there are so many other people that are maybe on the fence with using it for, like, in conjunction with other cancer treatments. Maybe you've got someone who's considering it for a family member, but they kind of feel funny about it. And now you or me, we're sitting there and they're like, okay, you know, I resonate with that person. Like, I see a little bit of myself in that person and they're doing it too. It's that simple sometimes.
I know there are a lot of ways that you can answer this, but what are some of the ways that you have witnessed local activism impacting cannabis legislation directly?
This has been very, very cool to be able to witness. And I think part of it's just because, you know, I'm nosy and I like to know what's going on, but also just being involved in things, which is really important to get involved in your community, both locally
I'd
and
say
within cannabis.
curious, right? Like, I feel like there's a difference between being curious and like in a journalistic kind of a way and being
I
nosy,
like that.
you
Yeah. So
know?
I'm going to go with that. I'm curious. No, so I am a board member of the Connecticut Cannabis Small Business Alliance. We are a newly formed nonprofit that loops folks from small cannabis businesses, whether we're talking manufacturers, folks with delivery licenses, people like myself that are ancillary doing marketing, podcasters, anyone involved in the community, which is a little different from some other, you know, kind of business-to-business type networking groups. And we do have a pretty big emphasis on the advocacy piece. So as a board member, you know, we've got a group chat and a few things were coming up around topics that would be discussed in the Capitol. So, you know, the group of about 10 of us, we were talking about it via text. One of the individuals worked on writing some pieces of legislation that we could share with senators. Other folks were kind of gathering bodies to actually go down to the Capitol. You know, I kind of took on a role of just trying to amplify it on social media and sharing it so that more people were aware of what we were doing. And those efforts worked. And we actually got pieces of the bill, some vocabulary changed in it to make it less painful for the hemp industry. So it was really
That's
just real
amazing.
time, real time watching normal people just like us talk about it, take action, find our legislators, you know, speak to them in a, you know, person to person, not screaming into the abyss, not calling them names, just listen, you may not know this, and we're experts in our field, and we wanted to share this with you. Is everything perfect? Far from it. But I have, you know, in the last 30 days, actually seen this happen, and it's so cool. It's really great.
That's amazing to be a part of actually changing legislation. Like, I know you love that, right? Like
I love
that's just
that.
so exciting. I think know it's really such cool. an arduous process too. Like it's a lot of work, a lot of boring work.
It is a lot of work. And I always considered myself politically engaged. I was more on the end of, you know, helping candidates get elected and volunteering during campaign time. I had never had my hand in this part, you know, like testifying at the Capitol, writing proposed sentences to go into something. And I wish I had like almost done a before and after of when we started, like a handheld video. I was terrified. I'm like, I have no business. I don't know what I'm talking. None of us do. No one knows what they're doing.
You're shy. You're a self-reported shy person, right? I mean, yeah. That's what you say. And I'm not shy. And when I watch you, I'm like terrified, literally terrified. Like I have such stage fright. It's ridiculous. Really. It's actually irrational. And I to testify like that and to speak, I mean, it's just amazing. You're doing such amazing work.
I do it, you know, in full disclosure, my testimony thus far has always been via Zoom. I'm a little too nervous to actually go down there, but you know, we're taking baby steps.
That's a huge step. That's way more than a baby step. I mean, even just having to speak to people in that kind of way and be so impactful. I mean, that is amazing. But you get a little bit of pushback, you know, right? You know.
We sure do. We all do.
I mean, you do because you're way more public facing right now. Well, more specifically, you touch on subjects that might have some controversial, you know,
feelings associated. Yeah, right. We'll say.
I don't think they're controversial, but some people might view them as controversial. So, What are some of the pushback? Like what are you getting from opponents that on a regular basis?
When I first started talking about cannabis on social media, the expectation was that it was going to be the prohibitionist part of the population that would push back. And to be very honest, that wasn't my experience, and it was a little strange to me. Like I said, I do politics, so I'm very comfortable with, you know, you pick your team kind of, and the other team is very aggressive, totally accustomed to that as well. What I didn't anticipate was, listen, we're a community and we all love this plant. We're all very different people and we have very different opinions about everything. I mean, down to which tent you should grow your plant in. So it's been the cannabis community that will push back sometimes, most of the time, to be honest. You know, and I tend to touch on a lot of, you know, being a woman in this industry, we're underrepresented. I will highlight the fact that women and people of color are underrepresented in the C-suite type, you know, level of this industry. So to say, oh, there's so many women or whatnot in this industry, well, all low level, or you'll have panels where it's five men and a single woman. Mm-hmm. So I point that out a lot and I get a lot of pushback, both legacy and regulated.
Wow.
You know, saying either it's a misrepresentation of things or as bold as to say, well, this is, you know, this has been a man's game and we're just new stepping into it, which gives me ideas for some of my spicier content, to be honest. Sometimes I repurpose those without saying they were a direct message. I'm like, interesting. Okay. So the pushback comes from, I think, different facets of the community. By and large, everyone's wonderful and lovely. And I've met so many great people. And at the same time, you meet people that you're just like, what on earth? We're both activists fighting for this plant and we're just slamming into each other because you don't like the way I'm on social media or vice versa. So that's it for me.
And that's what's going to hold us back from having federal legalization, because the people, like you said, outside of this echo chamber, they don't know why people have such strong opinions on THC caps and how you consume and where you're planting and how you're planting and all of this. They're just like, is it legal or not? You know, like,
right.
Are we allowed to buy it? That's cool. And meanwhile, you try to tell someone who's outside of this echo chamber, like all of these infights that are happening. And it just is met with such a blank stare because it's like, wait, what? How? What? You know,
exactly that. It's met with glossy eyes and a blank stare. You're exactly right. And they're looking to us to get information, and they just see us yelling at each other sometimes, which to the average person, they're just like, that seems like a nightmare.
You're like, so are we having childcare covered by cannabis companies yet? And people are like, wait a minute, what?
You're like, what? Exactly. And these things matter. So yeah, we all need to be nicer.
Yes, it does feel like you're just screaming into the void sometimes. Truly.
Sometimes it really does.
So to that point, do you have any advice for activists who are dealing with the pushback or the haters?
You know, yes, I joke all the time. I'm like, you know, I'm the kind of person that I'll put all of this controversial, saucy stuff out into the world and then get all teary-eyed because I'm getting a little bit of pushback. It's important to realize that for every person saying something negative, there are probably 2 to 3 that are watching it thinking it's so bold or brave, or they're so glad someone's finally saying it. So, you know, just remembering that, you know, even if it's one person that you're making a difference to, even if it's just yourself that you're making a difference to, that's super important. It's easier said than done, but just developing a thick skin. More kind of unpopular things, I've seen some people that'll, you know, make comments like, oh, this person blocked me, or how dare they delete my comment. This is my, you know, little piece of the world that I can curate, and I don't happily block and delete. But if things get to be to a point where I feel like those comments might be triggering to someone else, or they're really triggering to me, you do not have to give other people access to your platform to spew their nonsense. Let them build their own and say what they want over there. So I'd say feeling comfortable with that, and just protect your peace. If you're online and the comments and the feedback are getting to you, put your phone in a sock drawer and just walk away, whether it's a few hours or a few days. The internet will be there when you come back, you know?
It sure will.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's really great advice. So tell us about Cannabis Corner Radio.
Oh, yes, I would love to. So Cannabis Corner Radio is a radio show that airs in Connecticut on 103.5 FM every Monday from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. I joined in October of last year, so I'm about 5 months in, and my co-hosts are Joe LaChance and Lou Vega, also both from Connecticut. They have been original hosts to the show, and the show itself is celebrating 5 years this month, which is really exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, so I'm the new kid. I'm celebrating 5 years with them. I have not been there for 5 years. But, so it's really great. So we're, as far as I know, the only on-air radio show that is specific to cannabis in our area, certainly in Connecticut, possibly even New England. So we're going to fact check that one. But so it's been a great opportunity where we can just put it out on the airwaves. We pull in guests each week, much like we're doing here. In the past, it's been very localized to Connecticut, Massachusetts, and we're you know, Connecticut as a market is maturing, and the show is maturing with it, and we're, you know, we're bringing in more national guests and folks from out of state, but it's a lot of fun, and it does stream on YouTube, so we do have a YouTube channel, and also on Facebook, so you can watch it like a TV show, or just catch up on Spotify, or listening to it on the airwaves.
Oh, yeah, that's a good time to mention that YouTube now is allowing people to put their podcast episodes up on YouTube, like,
which
in addition to the other platforms,
which is really cool.
It is, because I know a lot of people that watch YouTube all day and they say they don't listen to podcasts. So if you want to check us out, we're on there as well.
Hint, hint, wink, wink, everyone. Yeah. No, you know, and that's like, again, with the social media, I really, different platforms are going to serve different purposes. And exactly that. I know tons of people that just scroll YouTube all day and they're watching clips of podcasts, but they don't want to just listen to someone. The different avenues people want to do it is perfect. Put it on YouTube, put it on Spotify, listen on someone's website. I mean, there's a way to tailor it for everyone's taste.
Absolutely. I'm so excited that you're doing that now. I mean, you're perfect for a radio show. So I'm so excited that you're doing that. And I know you have a lot of other things that you're working on, but is there anything specific that you'd like to promote before we end?
Anything specific to promote? You know, like I said, the radio show that we'll be doing. So just keeping an eye on Cannabis Corner Radio. We're going to be launching some, you know, we're getting our website up and running. And the plan is by 420 to launch that. So there will be some exciting add-ons where we're going to be more of a media company and doing some, you know, exciting events and offerings for people. So I'm going to keep it, you know, kind of vague and elusive, but more to come with that.
That's through your Sugar Leaf? Or?
That'll be through Green Haven Media.
Oh, Green Haven. I'm
Corner
sorry.
Radio.
Okay. I didn't know if you were, because I know you were still doing things with Sugar Leaf as well.
Yeah. So. And I was going to say the Sugar Leaf, that is my business page. It's Sugar_CT on social media. I have been doing it freelance for a couple of years and turned it into my full-time professional endeavor, you know, last year, but I do marketing and social media management for the cannabis industry. So I worked with, you know, a law firm, another podcaster that you know, a CBD company. So it's really varied and so much fun to help them just develop their marketing strategies and get their message out there on social media. Obviously, I love that. So that's what I've been working on with that.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, thank you so much for joining me again, and you're always welcome to come back.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay high and beautiful. This episode was produced by Your Highness Media. Audio editing by J.R. Crash. Intro music by Your Mom Likes My Music. Subscribe to our Substack, Your Highness Newsletter, for the latest announcements and event updates.